Our God and our Father, we are thankful for your word. Father, we're thankful that you allow us to come together and to worship you. And Father, as I speak this morning, I ask that I speak your words and not my own. Again, Father, we thank you for Jesus and we pray in his name. Amen. So, has anybody ever had a doubt about anything? Probably. So, I don't know how many of you remember being early in your career. I remember when I first started with DuPont. I'd been out of college for 3 years and, came to DuPont and they expected me to do things already because I had experience. And of course I have my doubts because I have what's called imposter syndrome, right? That they're going to find out that I'm actually an imposter and I don't know anything. Well, thankfully I did. I kept my job. So that's one form of doubt. The doubt I want to talk about today is the doubt we have sometimes as Christians. And so let's first look at a familiar scripture. This is John chapter 20, starting in verse 24. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my fingers where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your fingers here, put your hand, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus said to him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." So I only have 25 slides tonight, this morning. No, this is actually my only slide. So doubt that we have as Christians often takes on different forms, right? Sometimes it's, can my sins really be forgiven, right? Or have I sinned one too many times for God to forgive me? Or am I good enough to make it to heaven? The answer to that is by yourself, no, right? Or how come everybody else's life seems so good and I have so much problems, right? How many of you don't have any problems in your life at all? Just wondering. And then there's the big question, is there a God? We hear so much in the news media and in just social media, all of this going against God. It sometimes puts doubts in our head, doesn't it? Well, let's look at some examples of doubt in Scripture. Because the question is it okay for us to have doubts? And so we'll start with Moses. This is in Exodus chapter 3, starting verse 7. The Lord said, "I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard them cry out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land into the good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now, go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign so that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. Moses answered, what if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, the Lord did not appear to you? Then the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? A staff, he replied. The Lord said, throw it on the ground. Moses threw it on the ground, and it became a snake, and he ran from it. Then the Lord said to him, reach out your hand and take it up by the tail. So Moses reached out and took hold of the snake, and it turned back into a staff in his hands. This, said the Lord, is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. Then the Lord said to him, put your hand inside your cloak. So Moses put his hand inside his cloak. And when he took it out, the skin was leprous. It had become as white as snow. Now put it back in your cloak, he said. So Moses put his hand back in his cloak. And when he took it out, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. Then the Lord said, if they do not believe you or pay attention to the first sign, that they may believe the second. But if they do not believe these two signs or listen to you, take some water from the Nile and pour it on the ground. The water you take from the river will become blood on the ground. And Moses said to the Lord, pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. The Lord said to him, who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak, and will teach you what to say. But Moses said, pardon your servant, Lord. Please send somebody else. Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses, and he said, what about your brother Aaron, the Levite? I know he can speak well. He is already on his way to meet you and will be glad to see you. You shall speak to him and put words in his mouth. I will help both of you speak and will teach you what to do. He will speak to the people for you, and it will be as if he were your mouth and as if you were God to him. But take this staff in your hand so that you can perform the signs with it. So, think Moses had a little bit of doubt? Yeah. I think he had imposter syndrome. Then we have Job. You know, Job had all of these things happen to him. And at one point he says, basically to God, why do you hide your face and consider me your enemy? Will you torment a windblown leaf? Will you chase after dry chaff? For you write down bitter things against me and make me reap the sins of my youth. You fasten my feet in shackles. You keep close watch on all my paths by putting marks on the soles of my feet. Later in, that was chapter 13 of Job, in chapter 38, the Lord answers Job out of the storm, and he says, who is it that obscures my plans with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? Or what were its footings set? Or who laid its cornerstone? While the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted joy. And then finally, we have Peter in Matthew chapter 26. Now, Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. Again, this is while Jesus is being questioned. You also were with Jesus of Galilee, she said, but he denied it before them all. I don't know what you're talking about, he said. Then he went out to the gateway where another servant girl saw him and said to the people there, this fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth. He denied it again with an oath. I don't know the man. After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, surely you are one of them. Your accent gives you away. Then he began to call down curses, and he swore to them, I don't know the man. Immediately the rooster crowed. And then Peter remembered the words of Jesus that Jesus had spoken. Before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. He went outside and wept bitterly. Then later in John chapter 21, after Jesus has risen, it says, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you were old, you will stretch out your hand and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God when he said to him, follow me. So from these three examples, actually four if we take Thomas, do you think doubting is okay? We don't see initially God or Jesus getting mad at any of these folks for doubting. So I think doubting is part of our natural humanness. You know, we see Jesus doesn't yell at Thomas. He appears and he says, reach out your hand, touch me. Touch my hands, touch my side. When Moses has all of these doubts, for a very long time, God says, you know, here, this, you know, we'll do this for you. You throw down the staff, it turns into a snake, you pick it up, turns back into a staff, stick your hand in your cloak, pull it out, it's it's got leprosy. Put it back in, it comes back. But then Moses keeps pushing it, right? And finally goes, send somebody else, would you? And then we see God gets angry with him. We have Job. And, you know, we often talk about all of the patience of Job. And he did. He had a lot of patience. But he questioned God. He never cursed God for what happened. But he did question God. He had doubts. God, why are you doing this to me? And, you know, in the passage we read, God says to him, well, let me ask you a few questions. Were you there when I created the world? And if you look at the answers God gives to Job, in the end, it boils down to basically God telling Job, you don't need to understand everything. I am in control, and I will take care of you as I see fit. A good lesson for us, right? Because oftentimes we want God to do, we want him to solve a problem the way we want it solved. And he doesn't always do that. Or we want something, and sometimes his answer is no. And so we then doubt God is listening because he doesn't give us the answer that we want. And I think that was happening a little bit to Job. He didn't get the answer he wanted, so he had doubts. And we take Peter. You know, Peter, the doubt that he had was that Jesus could protect him even when he was, when Jesus was being questioned by the authorities, right? And we have sometimes that very same set of doubts when we're confronted by people who question us, question our faith, or when we're in a position where we need to stand up for our faith. We have those same doubts, don't we, that Jesus can protect us from whatever is going to happen. And I know I forget, and I'm guessing you do too, that ultimately what happens to us on earth by human hands is not the end of the story, right? We have that hope of heaven because Jesus was raised from the dead. We know that we'll be raised from the dead. So even if they kill us, let's hope that doesn't happen, but if it does, we still have that hope. We know that Jesus is protecting us in that way. So what do we do about doubts? Because we're going to have them, let's face it. We're humans. You know, we have these doubts. Well, James says this. He's talking about trials. And I would suggest that some trials, the doubts that we have are trials that we're going through. And he says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, for he gives generously to all without fault. And it will give you, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. So again, doubt really is a trial. It's a test of our faith. Not necessarily an external trial. We often think of, when we're reading James, of trials coming at us from others or from society, which those are trials. Sometimes that doubt is an internal trial that we're going through. And so what do we do practically for when we're facing those trials? You know, there's a lot of things, obviously. One of which is pray. You know, if we're having doubts of any kind, the author and finisher of our faith is there listening, right? And go to Scripture. I know for myself, the two things that I have typically stopped doing when I'm having doubts is I've stopped praying deeply and reading Scripture. Obviously, talking to somebody that you trust not social media, not TikTok, not even Facebook, but talk to somebody that you trust, you know, hopefully one of your brothers and sisters here. Sometimes reading about what other people say about it, think about, you know, doubting the existence of God. There's a lot of books, you know, and I'm drawing a blank on the man's name all of a sudden, but there's a gentleman that wrote a book. He was a newspaper reporter, and his wife started going to church, and so he decided to investigate. He was an investigative reporter. He decided to investigate this whole Jesus thing to see if it was true or not. And he comes to the conclusion, obviously, that Jesus is true and that what Scripture says is true, and he becomes a Christian. It's a very, very interesting book. It's called A Case for Christ. What? Thanks, Lee Strobel. I got Lee, I couldn't come up with the last name. Lee Strobel. Yeah, so it's a very good book. There's a lot of other books out there. John Clayton has a whole bunch of writing about it. So when I say read what others have written about it, is read good sources, not TikTok or Facebook or Twitter or whatever. The hard part, though, oftentimes is working through, in a sense, your own mind of what is causing you to have those doubts. Because a lot of times when we have those doubts, it's something going on up here more so than truly us having major doubts. Sometimes we do have major doubts, particularly when we're new to the faith. But once we've been in the faith for a while, a lot of times it's our headspace. And I know just from personal experience, when I'm having doubts, I'm spending way too much time in here. But let's look at the other side of this, is as Christians, how do we deal with people that have doubts? Because hopefully we at some point will be a person that somebody comes to when they have doubts, whether it's our children, friends, or whatever. And Jude, verse 20, says, "But you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in the most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Save others by snatching them from the fire. To others show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh." So Jude says, be merciful to those who doubt. So, you know, treating others when they have doubt as someone desperately seeking your help, and not ridiculing them, talking down to them, but explaining, that is how we're to react. Doubt is a personal journey. Each of us struggles with it personally. It's in our minds. It's in our, you know, it affects the way we think. I know Earlier this year, I was going through some struggles with doubt. And again, it was because I was in my head, sitting with my stepmom in hospice. I had a lot of time to just be in my head. Not a great place. It's kind of dusty and musty in there. And what I should have done is get out my Bible, read my Bible. But no, I spent time, just thinking, and that raises doubts. You know, I'm not good enough. I'm not, all of these different things. And when I get back to praying, when I get back to Scripture, and I realize, yeah, I am not good enough, but I have a Savior, right? Because I can't be good enough. And so, again, getting out of my own head, I didn't need to talk to somebody. I knew the answers. I just needed to get out of my own way, right? And so you're probably facing doubts in your life, whether it's something around your Christian life or about God. What do you do now? I would say that if you're experiencing doubts, there's a whole bunch of people in here that have probably had the same doubt you're dealing with. And there's a whole bunch of people in here that would be willing to talk to you about it. There's also a whole bunch of people here that, if they haven't had that doubt, are willing to pray for you, even if they don't necessarily understand your doubt. We're not going to make fun of you, because we deal with it too. We're not going to judge you, because we'd be judging ourselves. And I can guarantee you, at least one person in this room has had the same doubts you're having. Probably the same person has had the doubts that a bunch of other people are having. So, if you're past the doubting phase, though, and you're ready to commit to Christ, there's the man that can take away all doubt and all fear. And we're ready for you if you want to do that also. So we're going to get up, and Walter's going to sing a song. I told him as we got up, I'm not going to do that. you don't want me to do that. But through this week, think about, if you're having doubts, what's causing that? Why am I having that doubt? Is it something going on in my life that's causing me to do that? Something I'm hearing from the outside? A lot, we're bombarded with stuff these days. If you're feeling those doubts, pick up the phone and call someone and talk to them about it. Don't just wallow in it. It's a terrible place to be. So we're going to offer a time. If you feel the need that you need to come forward, whether it's for prayer or another need in your life or to be baptized, we're ready to help. So I'll turn it back over to Walter, and we'll stand and sing.